This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
4 o'clock on Thanksgiving Eve.
All right. Let's have an honest pre-Thanksgiving discussion. I woke up this morning because I fell asleep at a reasonable time last night, and I saw the news. I saw the news that Blake Snell had signed a 5-year contract with the Los Angeles Dodgers. He's making $36.5 million a year. And yes, a lot of it is deferred. So there are two discussions around the Blake Snell signing. There's the deferred money and this is unfair and blah, 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 blah. Honestly, the LA Dodgers are doing a marvelous job of signing guys to big contracts and deferring a lot of the money. Every team can do it. Teams have done it. Now, they haven't done it to the level of the L.A. Dodgers, but I actually commend them for circumventing the AAV the way they have without boring you with specifics.
Evil empire.
They are an evil empire, but anybody can do it.
Right. Why don't they, by the way?
Maybe they'll start. Maybe this is like a thing, because the Nationals used to defer a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
The Mets have deferred money, but the Dodgers have done it at a very high level with Ohtani. And Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, they're doing a little bit of it with Blake Snell. Right. And I think other teams will follow.
And I guess it's the outlay of cash.
Yes.
Like, yeah, because part of these involve signing bonuses.
Correct.
And so you have to, instead of guaranteeing money over a certain amount of time, it's, all right, here's a signing bonus that then circumvents some way the luxury tax.
Yeah, cash. It brings down this average annual value.
Right.
So like the Blake Snell contract, instead of it being the $36.5 million, it comes down to about 32 or 33. So it
right.
seems small, but it is pretty big when it comes to the tax.
When you have a bunch of guys that are doing the same thing.
Agreed. Look, I just, it's a bad.
Who doesn't want money now?
Right. The Dodgers are doing something everybody can do.
Yes.
So I give them credit for being kind of the originals in terms of deferring $900 million with Betts and Freeman and Smith and obviously Ohtani and now Blake Snell. But if you're the New York Yankees and you're Hal Steinbrenner, go do it. If you're Steve Cohen, go do it. So the deferral thing, whatever. Let's get to the baseball thing. Everybody's got a pipe down. And I'm going to explain to you why. The L.A. Dodgers are what the kids like to call a horse? No. What is it when
you're... A wagon.
A wagon. Hmm. They're a wagon.
I don't understand that.
They're really, really good.
A wagon?
A wagon.
That's what we call something that's really, really good?
Yeah, it's the new age conversation, yeah. They're a wagon.
Really? Yeah, they're a wagon.
Yeah. Like...
What?
Tiki. That last game against Washington, yeah. Tiki Barber was a wagon. Is that good? There you go.
Why? Because you, like, carry the team?
Tiki, we don't know. We're old.
I truly don't get that.
Yeah, I'm not sure the origins. I just know that when you're really good, you're a wagon.
All right.
The Los Angeles Dodgers are going to win the National League West.
Oh, they're a wagon.
They're a wagon. Last year, they only won 98 games, and that was a down season. The LA Dodgers are a wagon. They're going to win a lot of games. They won 100 games in 2023. They won 111 games in 2022. They are likely... If I'm just projecting here, and obviously there's a lot of questions on the health of this rotation. Tyler Glass now gets hurt a lot. Yoshinobu Yamamoto. We'll see about Roki Sasaki if they sign him. Even Blake Snell has an injury history. So they got a lot of guys who get injured, but no matter what, they're winning between, let's say, 97 and 117 games. Is that like a fair statement to make?
Yes.
They're a wagon.
118.
They're going to win the division. And if they win 118 games, or they win 110 games, or they win 102 games, who gives a rat's ass? It does not matter.
Right. They're getting to the postseason.
Good. So step one.
Rat's ass, told you said
it. I say it a lot. We all know they're a wagon. We all know they're good. We could argue their rotation and the health and all that, and who knows who's going to be healthy in October. This past October, very few guys were healthy. That's why they relied on Jack Flaherty and Yoshinobu Yamamoto and eventually a bullpen game. So we don't know if they'll be healthy, but that we'll put that aside. They're a wagon. Whether Blake Snell is there or not, they're a wagon. In fact, I'd argue with you, you're going to get 27 starts out of Blake Snell? Great. Who gives a rat? Who gives a... Oh, I stopped myself. Who gives a patoot? They're going to win 100 games either way. The Mets, the Yankees, we got to fight. We don't know how good this team's going to be. We'll find out as the offseason goes on. The LA Dodgers are going to make the playoffs. They've made the playoffs every year since 2013. Okay? So what are we scared about? The one start he makes in the division series? Is that what you're scared about? Mm. Are you scared about the 5 1/3 innings? Because I got a spoiler alert for you about Blake Snell.
You're breaking this down in rational terms.
Thank you.
And that's
thank you, Deacon.
Because what does it mean to you?
That's all I'm talking about.
As a Met fan, what does it actually mean to you?
Correct.
Now, what you're discounting is that by having Blake Snell, the Dodgers likely are going to win more games and might have home field advantage.
I concede that.
And that's a big deal, especially if you're a Mets and in October, you get to the postseason. There's a little bit of a weather advantage,
okay.
Even though you didn't get it last year.
Can I retort that?
Go ahead.
That was going to be the case either way. Hmm. The LA Dodgers are loaded. Now, they may have injuries like they had this year. They won 98 games despite that. They're better. There's very little the Mets can do that's going to make them a better regular season team. I'm not thinking about home field advantage. I understand the value of it.
Yes.
The Dodgers are better. So Blake Snell signing with them makes them even more better? Okay. So you're right. I am talking in rational terms because I don't think we're rational enough. The Dodgers are a wagon. They're going to win 105 games. They're in the playoffs. They're already in the divisional series. It's over, right? So if you're a Yankee fan and a Met fan, what did they just get that scares you so much? Blake Snell has never thrown more than 5 2/3 innings in any postseason game he's ever started. That's a fact.
Right.
That's probably not going to change with Dave Roberts as his manager. So really, Met fans or Yankee fans, because you're thinking about the World Series, I'm thinking about potentially the DS or the LCS. I have no idea. You're scared about 5 2/3 innings? That's what you're scared about? You're scared about he may make two starts. Okay, I'm sorry. The 10 1/3 innings? That's really what we're talking about, because the Dodgers are already an animal. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win 100 games. So their regular season starts from Blake Snell mean absolutely nothing. Maybe the one time they face us, okay. The one game where Blake Snell walks in a Yankee stadium. All that matters is the playoffs. Number one, 5 1/3 innings. Number two, how is it a guarantee he's going to be healthy? Was Tyler Glasnow pitching in the playoffs this year? Was Clayton Kershaw pitching in the playoffs this year? I didn't see him. Do we know if Shohei Ohtani is going to pitch in the playoffs next year? We have no idea. So I get it. It's scary. It's, ooh, the Dodgers. Oh, the Dodgers. When you think about it, yes, Teek, I appreciate that. In rational terms, what the hell are you afraid of? 5 1/3 innings in the divisional series? And one quick thing for the Yankee fans. If you're in the World Series, I'll say it again, there's a damn good chance someone already upset the Dodgers. Good chance.
And even if it is the Dodgers, there's a million reasons to fear the Dodgers.
Right. If this was in a pitcher, would you feel different?
Yeah, maybe. Because they have more of an impact game to game.
Yes.
If for game three of the World Series, if Blake Snell is pitching versus whoever, no, I'm not going to go, oh my God, we're facing Blake Snell.
And that's how I feel as a Met fan. If the Mets are facing them in the DS or the LCS, and again, maybe they don't face them. Maybe the Dodgers get picked off in the DS, the way they did in 2023 or the way they did in 2022 or the way they did in 2019 when they also were loaded. They won 111 games and got knocked out in the DS in 2022. That happened. That's a fact.
Yeah,
I'm just repeating this. So what's my fear? Blake Snell's going to start game three of the divisional series?
No, dude.
That's all that matters.
The Dodgers already started Blake Snell in the playoffs. They did the bullpen games.
Yeah.
Right.
I see what you did.
So I hope that
it worked.
It did. No, look, the Dodgers could win the World Series. They're the favorites. No one's denying that, but I'm saying they're already the favorites. They're already really good. There is nothing the Mets can do in this offseason that on paper will make them better than the LA Dodgers. So why fight it? They're going to be the favorites, okay? Maybe we beat them. Maybe we don't have to play them. I mean, maybe the Padres do our dirty work like they came very close to doing this past year.
Right, we almost forget that.
What I'll never forget is every Met fan to a T saying they preferred the Dodgers over the Padres. That I won't forget. All of you.
Well, I mean, in theory, it made sense because the Dodgers were so beat up.
Yeah.
They're starting. I mean, they were bullpenning.
I understand.
Every other game felt like a bullpen game, or it was a bullpen game.
I get the rationale. We own that, though. All of us. We own that.
Be careful what you wish for.
Be careful what you... This is why the next time we have this discussion, hopefully next October, when the Mets are in the LCS, and I'm like, hey, Teak, would you rather play the Reds or the Cardinals? I'm shutting my mouth.
Right. Neither.
Neither. Cancel it. So I hope that works on everybody. The Blake Snell thing is just nothing to be worried about. It doesn't affect the Mets or Yankees' chances of winning a world championship because either way, the Dodgers are a wagon.
Yeah. They just... want to spend their money, let them spend their money.
Yeah. And I still don't fear them with Juan Soto. I still don't buy that at all.
But
Why not? I was told, oh, they're great.
If they get Juan Soto, it changes it, though.
Okay, so my response to that would be, it's a little convoluted, but I will try to answer it. The Dodgers are still a wagon.
Yeah.
They're still going to win a lot of games. It would be more, how do the Mets improve their roster since they didn't get Juan Soto?
Yeah.
Same thing for the Yankees. So it's more not about the Dodgers getting him. It would be more about, okay, I didn't get him. What do I do to improve my roster and improve my lineup?
But are you ready to admit, finally, that the Dodgers are a threat to get Juan Soto?
No. I don't think they are. Hmm.
Why? Because, I mean, money's not the issue. It's not going to be the issue for anybody.
I'll tell you why.
They do.
Okay, I'll tell you why. Because I don't believe Juan Soto is going to do that.
What do you mean? He's going to join the...
Yes. I don't think
he's
not
going to Kevin Durant.
More on him later.
I
do not believe Juan Soto, A, would do that. I believe that Juan Soto would rather be on the East Coast. I also don't believe the Dodgers are going to be the highest bidder. I think the Dodgers are using, and they should, the angle of, hey, we're the Dodgers. We're really good.
And look who we have.
Look who we have.
You're going to win championships.
Yeah.
Probably multiple of them.
Correct.
You're going to have World Series MVPs. All
correct.
That stuff.
But take less money to come here.
Right.
That's what I think the Dodger angle is going to be. I do not
depends
think they're going to.
How much less, I think.
Right. And how much of it's deferred. Deferred money may not be something he wants. In fact, what I had heard in the past is that Scott Boras and Juan Soto are not as interested in a heavily deferred deal. So
unless he gives them a ridiculous signing bonus.
Right, right. But then.
Which is real money right now.
But
opposed to waiting, getting it 30, 45 million at a time.
But I think that other teams, specifically Steve Cohen and even Hal Steinbrenner, are more desperate for him where they will beat the Dodgers' best offer. So it's not that I don't think the Dodgers are trying in this. I think they are, but I think they're trying in a very, hey, if we get him, great kind of way, but we're not going balls to the walls the way I felt like they did for the Dodgers.
But here's
for Ohtani.
But here's the thing. Forget the Dodgers' pursuit of Juan Soto now. This is still a big domino to fall. And if you're the Mets and the Yankees and you're worried about Corbin Burns or wherever, how do we know that the pitching floodgates aren't about to open up here?
Now, that's a great point. So the second point is, did you want Blake Snell? That's the second part. Because now he's not available.
Yeah.
Forget about the Dodgers. I think I made a great case why it's not a big deal he went there. So
Who I said I wanted. I wanted Max Fried.
I think you did, too.
But I think you said and countered he doesn't feel like he'd want to pitch in New York.
Yeah, I get a vibe on Fried and Blake Snell. I didn't love their connection here in New York. My fear with Blake Snell has always been that he's 32 years old. You're giving him a long-term contract. His walk numbers have been terrible, even though they got better last year. And I wonder if he's going to be able to stay healthy over the life of that contract. I didn't love giving Blake Snell that kind of deal. So I raise my hand and tell you, Blake Snell was not my preferred ace. I preferred Corbin Burns, I still do, over Blake Snell. So now that Blake is not on the market, am I devastated? Not really. That wasn't my number one choice. Did you prefer him?
No, but that's...
Okay. So then what's the problem?
Because the problem is Blake Snell has gone to a team before Juan Soto has.
Okay.
And if you're the Mets and the Yankees, and this probably prioritizes the Yankees more because we're under the impression they signed Soto, they probably don't do much of anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe that we all thought Soto was the first free agency domino to fall.
Right. Are you surprised by that, Ed?
Not mildly, but not fully, because I think that a lot of teams who are going after starting pitchers are going after starting pitchers no matter what Juan Soto does.
I see.
I think the only team greatly affected by this is the New York Yankees.
Okay.
Because my assumption has been if the Yankees miss out on Soto, there will be a pressure to spend elsewhere. So maybe what happened was Scott Boras, who represents Blake Snell, they had a Zoom the other night. That just got reported that the Yankees and Snell had a Zoom. And maybe Snell told Scott, I don't feel it. I'm a West Coast guy. Yeah. I'm preferring the West Coast. Once you get me what I want, there's no reason to wait.
Right. And if he's colluding altogether with all of his guys, sign with the Dodgers. This is going to force the Yankees to now get even more desperate for Juan Soto.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know how much more desperate the Yankees would have been on Snell. I think if they miss out on Soto, they'll probably taste the big market pitcher market, but I don't know if they definitely have to go there.
Right, but now imagine
that's the only.
Corbin Burns and Max Fried signed somewhere now.
Okay, but just to answer your question, I think the Yankees were the only team greatly affected by Soto's decision on if they would go after Blake Snell. I think the Mets are going after an ace no matter what. It sounds like the Red Sox are going after an ace no matter what.
Yep.
So I don't necessarily think it affects the market that much. What would surprise me is Anthony Santander signing today, or Alex Bregman signing today, or Pete Alonso signing today. I think the bats are clearly waiting on Juan Soto. I don't necessarily think the pitchers had to.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, nonetheless, I think just to encapsulate it, was, you know, now that Snell signed, I don't think we're just assuming free agents are all waiting for Soto, and that becomes a dangerous place for a team like
the
Yankees.
Do you want one of the aces?
Only if we lose Soto.
Really?
Yeah.
So your thought would be, if we lose Juan Soto, let's get another big-time arm. Your rotation's the same either way.
Yeah, because, look, do I think the Yankees are going to score enough runs throughout the regular season to get back to the playoffs without Juan Soto? My answer would be yes, because I believe in the development of Dominguez, and I think they'll do a little something else, whether that's infield or in the outfield. Ultimately, though, I got to pivot to how I'm going to try to get through the postseason, and that would be give me another frontline ace.
You know what would scare me about signing a frontline ace from the New York Yankees? And again, if Hal has no budget, then balls to the wall, go sign everybody. I'm assuming you have a budget, and clearly the Yankees do have a budget. The Yankees already have two starting pitchers with long, long-term contracts making big money in Carlos Rodon and Gerrit Cole. Yep. Do you really want a third? All of them in their mid-30s?
No, you just need Carlos Rodon to be more consistent.
Oh, of course, and you need Gerrit Cole to be healthy.
Right. But only have, what, 3 years left now?
I understand, but for the next 3 years, you're paying guys in their 30s, $37 million dollars a year.
And 3 years from now, where's Aaron Judge? And so if you're just going to wait it out, Cole and Rodon contracts, Aaron Judge is now 35 years old.
Which is my point. I would sign another ace if you lost Soto to try to just go all in right now on Judge.
Yeah, I've gotten the vibe on Blake Snell. I don't think he ever wanted to be here. I don't think he's got a New York personality, so I'm not devastated by the Mets or the Yankees not signing him. Mm-hmm. I just think we have to have eyes wide open. Like, the LA Dodgers are great anyway, so okay. They're even greater. It's okay. Like, it will bother me when they sign someone I want. So I like Corbin Burns. He's number one on my pitcher list. If it had come out that the Dodgers signed Corbin Burns, you'd hear a very different Evan today.
What I like about Blake Snell, too, unique name. Did you know Blake is what they call a male in Australia? And you could see that on the door of the bathroom at the Outback Steakhouse.
Really?
Is it Blake?
Isn't it Bloke?
Is it Bloke?
That's how
isn't
you pronounce
it Blake and Sheila?
Sheila. That's the waitress's name.
Sheila, the man in the
diner.
When you go to the bathroom at Outback. It's very confusing when you're young.
British?
Bloke is a British, where you would be called in like England.
It's Bloke, not Blake. Forget it. We'll keep talking
British. No, you might be right. What'd you say, in Australia?
Yeah, the Outback.
Yeah,
I know
Australia's not the same as England, though.
Well, so no, they do speak the same language. It's called English. And they were a territory of the British for a long time.
Doesn't
in fact,
a penal colony.
That's right. They used to send the criminals to Australia. True story. You guys didn't know that?
Is that where they got the term kangaroo court from?
We're both
probably.
Idiots.
I mean, it's possible, actually.
I don't
now
know the answer
it.
To that, but now I got to look.
I've always
Here
thought.
Here I go.
Go down that rabbit hole. I've always thought if we as humans sent people to a continent or country in Australia as a penal colony, when do we start doing that with outer space? Like, when do we start saying, you know what? You're a criminal. We're going to send you to this place. In fact, I think there was a TV show back in the day. I think it was called Earth 2. Right. Guys ever watch Earth 2?
No.
He's a real, look it up, I swear to God. There was a show called Earth 2, and if I'm not mistaken, I think that was the synopsis. We're sending people to this planet because they're criminals, and we're getting them off Earth. All and that was Earth 2.
In the late 1700s, British courts began sentencing people convicted of various crimes to penal transportation to Australia. In the 1800s, this was sometimes referred to as the kangaroo jump.
Wow.
All right.
Therefore, the kangaroo court.
See? I guessed something right.
You did.
You nailed it,
that's
Sean.
A good job
that's
out of you.
Great.
That's pretty awesome.
By the way, we cannot send our prisoners to outer space.
Why?
Great idea in theory, send them up there. But then you leave open the possibility that prisoners then team up with aliens to come back and attack
there
us.
There are no
Now that is a super team.
I mean, not within our reachable
Do you purposely do you purposely bring up aliens in front of Tiki because you know he's going to go on a rant?
Definitely exist. They have to. The probability with the, I don't know, three, whatever the number is. It's a number I can't even say. It's quintillion or probably 10 times the order of that. A number of planets in the world, in the galaxy.
Sure.
Not even the galaxy, in the universe.
Right.
Right. There's definitely alien life. They simply will never be get here.
Why did you
they
do
will
this,
never
Sean?
Get here.
You did this. I didn't bring up aliens.
And the question will be, then be, is it intelligent life?
Do they have the ability to create technology?
Maybe.
I doubt it.
All right.
Because you know what inhabited this planet for most of its existence?
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs. Yeah. 185 million years or 200-something million years of and I would call intelligent life. But a dinosaur was never creating a spaceship.
I do want to tell you guys. I do want to tell you guys a story. So I'm sitting in my office. It was about a day or two ago. And Tiki comes in and says, you know, I had this long conversation with Rondé the other day about, and as he's saying this, I'm like, what could it be about? Maybe it's about Daniel Jones. Maybe it's about, you know, I don't know, Paul Tagliabue. Maybe it's about, I have no idea. And his answer was, aliens. Me and Rondé had this long conversation about aliens, and I would have paid anything because Rondé is Team Evan. I don't know if you guys know that. Rondé believes in aliens.
Yes, he does.
So Rondé was, I guess, arguing with you about this.
I had to shut him down, though.
Just one closing thought.
Please.
It has to be.
It started because of spaceships. Like, there was this theory about, like, if a spaceship could travel at 99.999999% the speed of light, that you could go visit distant planets. But in the time, because time would slow down.
Yeah.
And the time it took to get there would feel short to you, but it would be 4 million years to people on Earth.
So
it just can't happen.
I understand how the math is math. I understand the math.
Anything with mass can't travel at the speed of light.
I'm just saying, if you could just be open-minded for one second.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to be open-minded. It is never going to happen.
The slimmer percent chance that the math is wrong and that speed of light doesn't exist and it's really just speed.
Right.
We can't have our prisoners up there waiting to get a tag team like Durant and Curry to come down with aliens and attack us. The most hardened criminals in the world. You mentioned Charles Manson with E.T.
There will never be aliens within our galaxy and certainly not within our solar system.
All right.
And if they do, they'll come in and just like Carl Sagan's pale blue dot, they'll look at this little tiny little speck of a grain of something that is hundreds of millions of miles away and say, oh yeah, I want to go to that little speck, Earth. That's not happening, dude.
Sean, enough.
I'm sorry. Evan wants to go back to talk about what pinch hitter the Mets are going to sign. So let's go.
By the way, I think there's aliens.
Oh my God, it keeps going.
But there's like aliens in our newsroom. You ever spend a half hour with Al Dukes?
That was a great show.
By the way, Earth 2 is not about what you said it was about.
What was it about?
Give it again what your plot was.
So Earth 2 is a TV show, and I think it was like a network show. I could be wrong about this.
From 1994?
It was from, I was definitely in that age demographic,
okay,
like 12, 13 years old.
Yep.
It was a network TV show. Can you confirm that?
Sure, yes.
But was it?
Because it won a Primetime Emmy Award.
It won an Emmy?
For visual effects.
Well, I think it was like an NBC or a CBS show, one of those shows. And I remember, at least I think I remember, that the story was they were discovering this planet and they were sending the criminals to the planet first. That's what my memory tells
me.
You're telling me that's not true.
No, because the synopsis here on IMDb says 2 centuries in the future when pollution has forced humans to abandon Earth. So it's about pollution. That sounds interesting.
It's about pollution. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. They sent people to find a cure. They were looking for a cure for an illness called the syndrome. Anyhow, yeah, I kind of remember that
otherwise
show.
Otherwise known as COVID.
Right. They were just like 20 years ahead of time.
Right.
Let's go to John in Oxford, Connecticut. How are you, John?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Hey, listen, guys. These owners, these Major League Baseball owners with Monopoly money, I always hear that Uncle Stevie's got more money than anybody else. But then we watch these Dodgers do things that seem to make no sense. Hmm. Now, who is the money behind the Dodgers? Number two, really has the most money in Major League Baseball?
Guggenheim. Guggenheim Partners is a private equity firm. So it's limitless, essentially.
How much does Guggenheim have?
Under management.
Under management. How much? Do we know?
I have no idea.
Like, how much is Guggenheim?
It's more than Steve Cohen.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it may be.
It's pooled money.
So here's what I found about Guggenheim. And look up Steve Cohen, by the way, for you guys. Just tell me how much he's worth. But Mark Walter is the founder and CEO of Guggenheim Partners. His net worth is $12 billion.
Mm-hmm.
But how about this? Guggenheim Partners is an investment firm with over $335 billion in assets under management.
It's like a sovereign wealth fund.
So how do you define how much money they actually have? You want to go by the $12 billion that Mark Walter has?
No, because I think the group manages the Dodgers.
Okay.
It's not the individual. Now, I know there is an individual that is in charge of it, but it's one of their portfolio companies.
So you would say they're worth of $335 billion would be the fair answer to that.
Well, I don't know how much they allocate towards the baseball team, and we could probably find that out. Steve Cohen is...
$21 billion, which is the highest of an individual owner.
That's a guy not worried about a Black Friday sale, let me tell you.
Right, but here's the point. I think our last caller was getting there, and he never made it. It is now time, and I say this respectfully, for Steve Cohen to prove it. Because there's been a lot of talk and a lot of bluster, not necessarily from him, but from all of us about how much money he has, Uncle Stevie, all these comments about him. But I think our last caller is right. You got to go outbid Guggenheim then for Juan Soto. Like, there's no excuse. You're worth $21 billion. Hal's worth $1.5 billion.
See, the money doesn't matter. It's a desire. And so, because if you ask him, how much money do you have, Guggenheim, partners to spend on the Dodgers? How much money, Steve Cohen, do you have to spend on Juan Soto? The answer is going to be enough.
Right.
Right? So it's not, it doesn't matter who's richer, who's not. It's like, who's is bigger, who's isn't. Like, that doesn't matter.
It's about the willingness to spend it.
It's the willingness to spend it.
Yeah, and you know what? Show the willingness to spend it.
Right. That's all it comes down to.
Here's the thing I'll tell you. Because Sal and I had this discussion off air. Sal heard what I said yesterday about my belief that this is all a used job to get Hal to bring the price up. And Sal said, why are you coping that you think the Mets aren't getting Soto? I said, Sal, I'm not coping with anything. Like, if the Mets don't get Juan Soto, I'm going to be angry. I'm going to be pissed off. That's not coping. My anger will be really high. I'm just giving you my evaluation. Fair enough. Like, this is just my opinion on it. I'm not coping because, quite frankly, and I said this to him, I'll say it to the audience, if they aren't the highest bidder for Juan Soto, fair enough, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to be pissed off. I'm going to be angry. And I'm going to be really angry at my fellow Met fans who continue to talk about Steve Cohen like a caricature that he hasn't proven to be.
Right.
Doesn't mean he's a bad owner. I'm still grateful he is the owner of the team. But stop thinking he's Scrooge McDuck. Stop thinking he's some, you know, king or some genius of money if he isn't the highest bidder. Now, if he is the highest bidder and they don't get him, that's a different discussion. So we need to see it. Because Steve's been the owner of the team for 4 years. They have spent money. I appreciate how they have, even the way they bought off the Scherzer and Verlander contracts. Great. But right now, Guggenheim's the king. Right now, the Dodgers are the kings. And I feel it in my pit of my stomach. I want to see the Mets do this. I want to see the Mets be the bullies. I want to see people whine and bitch and cry on social media about the Mets doing nefarious things with their money, even if it's not nefarious. Mm. I want those tears. I'm sick of being on the sidelines. So get it done. That's all I'm saying. Get it freaking done. Because that's our expectation. And every Met fan better join me in this. If they are not the highest bidder for Juan Soto, quit with the T-shirts and the pictures and the nicknames and everything we say about Steve. Steve will just be a big market owner that we respect, and that's cool, but he will no longer be the caricature we've drawn up in our heads.
Yes. I'm just looking at the ownership group.
Oof, I'm scared. I thought you were going to look at aliens.
Right, no. Of Guggenheim Baseball Management.
Yes. Plus
Mark Walter, who you mentioned. Todd Boehly, who was the president of Guggenheim. He's invested in a bunch of other stuff as well. Peter Gruber, who was a business executive and entrepreneur. Stan Kasten, who used to be the former president of the Braves and the Nationals.
Yeah.
And it's just like Magic Johnson's part of the ownership group. There's just so many people involved with it.
How do you open the show on that Friday after the aliens come down and tell us that they're real? Like, do you mea culpa it? Do you apologize? Like, I'm just curious, like, what your approach will be, because we're going to have to talk about it. We can't ignore it. What are you going to say into a microphone?
I won't be here.
What does that mean?
Because if aliens are here, they're not coming with pleasant intent.
They're not coming in peace.
Exactly.
So you're saying we're not going to get to host an afternoon drive show to talk about the aliens?
Total annihilation.
We're all going to be dead?
Yeah, right. Because if you have the technology to get and interact with us here, you're not here to say, hey, how are you guys doing? Nice to meet you. You're not going to be like Carl Sagan and send golden records flying throughout the space and assuming that aliens have ears.
Can I tell you why?
The same physiology we do.
I'm going to tell you why you're wrong about this, respectfully. If we as humans didn't fight wars, if we weren't fighting since the beginning of time, our technology would be better, our power would be better, and we'd be further along as civilization. If there is an alien life form out there that has created that kind of technology, they've done it because they're peaceful, and they've done it because they didn't waste their monies and their technology and the many lives we've lost over thousands of years to useless, stupid,
stupid, inane wars.
True. Or they
so could, I stand by that. They will be far greater than us because we are, I love humans, but we're flawed.
Or they could still be in the state of amoeba.
Hmm. Okay, I personally think the 660 signal's so strong, they probably know who we are.
That's very possible.
Also, did you know there's a Congressman, Steve Cohen, who's dissatisfied with the Pentagon's briefings on UFOs?
Really?
There's another Steve Cohen.
I knew there was a Steve Cohen. I wasn't sure of his views on the Pentagon.
He's in depth on this alien from. I don't know. Rep? Where's Rep?
That's a representative.
Yeah, that means...
that means he's a congressman, so he's a representative from... I'm going to go with Pennsylvania. I don't know why.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania. Okay, let's
if you
see.
Can't have this answer, what are you here
Wiley
for?
Wiley looks that up. Evan, isn't your favorite movie Independence Day?
Yes.
Yeah, they didn't come down like they were hippies.
It's a sci-fi. I'm talking about real life. In real life...
Tennessee.
No, we're not talking real life because it's we're talking fantasy.
No, that's sci-fi. In real life, if there were aliens, just think about this, I promise you. Think it's actually more powerful than you're realizing. Mm. If you think about it, if there are aliens with that kind of technology, right. They were peaceful because we've wasted so much.
By the way,
by being
the
animals that we are.
In order to get here, they would have to be tiny. Like gnat size. Those are the aliens.
That'd be something.
Because
why would they have to be tiny?
To travel the speed of light.
To travel the speed of light.
Yeah.
Unless there are
unless
there's different physics in other parts of the galaxy or the universe, then you can't travel faster than the speed of light if you have mass.
I had this whole conversation.
So you have to be tiny.
This entire
unless you believe in wormholes, which the general relativity theory allows.
It does allow it.
I believe in wormholes. Yeah.
But. We don't have no idea how the geometry.
Tiki, I need to FaceTime you because last night I did 22 minutes about this with Jet last night.
The same conversation,
exactly the same. Because he was asking like really good questions about it. Wasn't making jokes like these two clowns. He was like, "All right, so you know, speed of light, can we do it? What about wormholes?" Like he had all these answers. So I think what I'm going to do the next time this happens, I'm just FaceTiming your ass.
Nice.
So if you see a FaceTime from Evan at about like 8:15,
love it.
You'll know what's coming. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 888-808-1019. It is Thanksgiving Eve here on Evan and Tiki, and I remind you, we are going to be here on Thanksgiving. So if you are driving to your loved ones at 2 o'clock, we'll do a very special Evan and Tiki taking you right in to Giants Cowboys, the Thanksgiving spectacular known as Drew Lock taking on, what's his name? Who's my redheaded friend?
Cooper Rush.
That's right. Now, we have made stat predictions about Tommy DeVito. We did that going into Sunday's game. I won that stat prediction. Tiki was not allowed to make a stat prediction because, of course, he was calling the game. In fairness to Drew Lock, we will now make a stat prediction on Drew Lock, and then Monday, it'll be a few days later, but on Monday at 4:30, we'll at least check in on how we did. So let's start off with Tommy Lugauer. He's a big Tommy DeVito fan. He took the news very hard. If you want to rewind to about 3:05 and hear him mentally break down on the air, you're more than welcome to do so. So, Tommy, I know this is tough for you, but let's hear a stat prediction for Drew Lock.
12 completions on 22 attempts for 180 yards, one interception, one touchdown pass, 15 yards rushing.
All right. Very mediocre performance, basically what I said for Tommy DeVito, essentially. I think it's almost my exact stat line for Tommy DeVito.
Got that right.
Is that what you did? You just copied it?
Of course. No, I reversed it on you.
Sean Morash.
I'm going to go 18 of 28, 176 yards, one touchdown, one interception.
Very similar, basically.
Yeah.
But you're just copying Tommy's stats?
No, I'm...
What are you, like, doing what you normally do on Twitter? See Tommy's tweets and then copy his sports opinions?
His mom might be listening.
I've heard. That's the rumor going around that you do
Tommy,
that.
Unlike Tommy, I do research, and I kind of went to the past couple of Drew Lock starts, and I, you know, tried to find what I think is going to happen.
Gave us an average Drew Lock performance?
Yes.
All right. Tiki Barber.
I'm going to say 22 of 38, 212 yards, a touchdown, and an interception.
Well, so all of you are at least within range of each other.
Yes.
Very similar stats.
Evan hates this.
Actually, I'm going to say touchdown and two interceptions.
Touchdown and two interceptions. Okay, I'm going to change that. Why do I hate that?
because you wanted to go under our what you thought would be over predictions for Drew Lock. Now it's forcing you to go over on Drew Lock, and you know he's not going to do that, so you can't prance around on Monday when we look like idiots.
You completely disagree with
Evan, we have formed the anti-Evan committee.
Coalition of the willing.
We know what your game is whenever you break out your Excel spreadsheet, and we know what you're trying to do. You think as Giants, honks, and homers, we're going to oversell this, and then you could go, look, guys, I
hate to be the bad guy.
Well, you've got me completely wrong, because I think Drew Lock's going to play really well on Thursday. Tomorrow. I forget that that's tomorrow.
I know, right?
I'm going to go 20 for 28, so a better completion percentage than either of you guys. And he's going to throw for 270 yards, which is about 100 more than Sean predicted, and about 90 more than Lugie predicted, and about 60-some-odd more than Tiki predicted. Two touchdown passes and one interception. 20 for 28, 270 passing yards, two touchdowns, and a pick.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Lock sanity begins.
I know what he's doing. This is a shot at you, Tommy.
Ah, got it. You're right.
Yeah.
What's the shot at Tommy?
He's ensuring that Drew Lock stays the starting quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
That's
right.
Exactly what he's doing.
Do you think that's what I want?
Yeah, I think that's what you want.
You're a bad person.
You think I want boringness around here?
I think you want Tommy to suffer.
Evan, we've long since thought this about you. You suffer as a sports fan. You're the longest suffering sports fan.
Everybody else to suffer right along with you.
Well, whether it's Sean, me, Sal, BT, whoever, you want us to suffer like you.
That is, there is some truth to that. There is absolutely some truth to that. I do want everyone to suffer if I have to suffer. It's kind of why I'm very mixed about the Lions. Because do I really want the Lions to win a Super Bowl? Or do I want them to continue to suffer the way Jet fans have suffered since the beginning of time? But
just read your stats again. I just want to get these down.
I wrote it down. Hold on.
I want to make sure I have these down.
20 for 28. Uh-huh. 270 passing yards.
Okay.
Two touchdowns, one interception.
Okay, so two touchdown passes, one pick, but 270 yards?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so tomorrow when we do the show, we make our Giants game pick. That should result in a lot of Giants points, probably at least three touchdowns.
No, yeah, disagree. So,
Evans on the Giants.
Evans definitely going to pick the Giants. 100%.
I have this all thought out.
And they're
going to
score at least 29 points in this prediction. Then. Yeah.
They're going to score 20 points. I'll tell you exactly how I got there.
Huh.
They're scoring 20 points. They're going to get the two touchdowns courtesy of Drew Lock passing touchdowns. That gets you to 14.
Okay. Yeah.
They will then kick two field goals, but there's going to be a miss. Uh-huh. So they will go two for three in field goals. Well, I don't understand what your issue is. Like, that seems pretty...
Is that not a reasonable prediction?
No, it is. I think so.
Thank you. 270 passing yards, two touchdowns a pick. They end up scoring 20 points, which for the New York Giants is actually like a pretty good number.
So they're not going to run in a touchdown tomorrow with all
no,
that
No, they will not run in a touchdown. Correct.
That's interesting. Okay.
I think they're going to actually... Like, Tiki said something earlier, and I kind of agree with him. I think they want to see what they have with a lot of their wide receivers. I think they're going to feed Malik Nabers, which we all agree on. And so, yeah, I think they're going to pass a lot. And remember, this is a Giant team that's only broken 20 points three times this season.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving you a positive prediction. I think they're scoring 20 points. Now, is that good enough to win? When we make our Giant prediction tomorrow, I will let you know. Maybe it is. Maybe they win 20-10. Maybe they lose 30-20.
So
I haven't revealed that
tomorrow
yet.
We're doing the Giants.
Correct.
And we'll do everything else today?
We're going to do everything else today. We'll make our... Today will be like a football Friday. Well, I know there are more people listening, so we'll pick the Jet game. We'll pick two other games of our choice. Could go to Thanksgiving, could go to Sunday. And then tomorrow on our very special Thanksgiving show, we will pick the Giant-Cowboy game. So the only thing I've revealed, because I'm still studying here, is the Giants will score 20 points.
Why?
I have come to that conclusion, which, again, is a good number for them, considering they've only broken 20 three times this season.
The Jets are getting a point and a half hosting the Seahawks.
That is correct.
Why don't we just do picks Friday? You'll join me because I'm going to have to do picks on Friday, so why would we do them now?
I'm going to tell you why we're not doing the picks on Friday. Can I walk you through my life, or do you not care about that? Mm.
I really don't care, but I think, you know...
I'm going to walk you through it.
I can tell you why.
Why?
Because I ain't working on Friday.
But you put me in a weird spot now. I'm not supposed to do picks on Friday?
I think you are... Here's what I would tell you about picks on Friday. And obviously, you are doing the midday show.
And half an hour of our show.
And a half hour of our show.
Mm-hmm.
So when are you making those picks? You doing it during the midday show?
I figured I'd save it for the end, 2 to 2.30, okay. Evan and Tiki's picks.
Here's what I would tell you, and obviously if you guys disagree, let me know. Our picks that we make today are absolutely official. The pick we make tomorrow is absolutely official. I would say if you want to make picks on a Friday show, in which I'm going to be with my wife and I ain't picking up that cell phone, we got some alone time on Friday. No. And let me tell you something, Sean Morash ain't on my mind. Tiki Barber, I don't know if you've got the alone time figured out.
I don't. I'll be in Washington.
He's going to be in Washington.
Calling the Commanders and the Titans.
He has a meeting with the president. He's going to tell Joe a couple of things before you leave office. All right? And I don't know what the hell Lugie's doing. He's probably going to still be hungover from the rave he went to on Thanksgiving night. You can pick football games. They're not going to count. They're going to be like the exhibition games before a football season. So you're absolutely allowed to pick it. I certainly don't want to tell you what to do. And obviously, Tommy is the executive producer of the show. Is that
a I agree fair with you. Yeah, very thing? Fair. 100%.
And I agree. By all means, I don't want to get involved with your love life at all. Alone time on Black Friday?
Yeah, I'm whipping one out. I think that my kids are going to maybe spend some time with their grandparents.
Okay, you didn't.
And we're going to do some shopping. It's not as dirty as you thought. It's Black Friday.
Because I would assume Black Friday is the least, you know, dirty time that should be. Because then you didn't eat right on Thursday.
I didn't say anything about being dirty.
Tough to be flexible.
Friday is a big, you know, fart on the couch
thing. Yeah. Are you trying to say that you do not enjoy any activities on Friday after Thanksgiving?
I would say you did not celebrate Thanksgiving properly if you're basically ready to go for adult time activities on Friday.
Sean, I can't speak for Tiki because I think he has a real healthy way of finding alone time. And I certainly want, but the Lugie's irrelevant in this conversation. He does not have kids. So what I will tell you, Sean, as two guys that are in very similar situations, I have an 8-year-old son and a 4-year-old son, and you have two wonderful daughters.
Yeah.
When you get alone time, in your face, beggars can't be choosers, okay? So I don't want to hear about what you ate the night before or how you're feeling. Like, that is insanity.
What I do with my meat.
First of all, that's disgusting.
It's Thanksgiving. Meat's turkey. Where are you going, big boy?
Tommy,
it's what you do with your leftovers. Rich,
I have nothing to do with any of this. I'm trying to have an intelligent conversation. Yeah.
Real intelligent about sneaking a quickie.
Well, first of all, the kid's listening.
I know, there's a way to
quickie,
phrase it.
A quick little.
Tommy,
stay out of
this. Be mature. It's unbelievable.
When you have an alone time, beggars can't be choosers. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay. I could just tell you, there's no bigger turnoff to a female than a turkey fart.
So you're telling me
I'm coming for that ass.
You're telling me on Friday, if your kids are like, I don't know, they're being babysat, and you've got rare alone time.
They actually are. They're going to see Moana too.
Okay. Okay.
You're golden, dude.
No, my alone time's being spent with Dove Kramer here.
Oh, that's right. You're doing the show. I forgot about that. Yeah. That was the whole point of this conversation.
Me and Dove will not be doing any of that, by the way.
Wrap your legs around me, and I'll give you a ride.
Tommy, this is just,
what are you doing? It's Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We're a family show. I apologize to the audience. I've had nothing to do with this. Let's go to Charlie in Queens. How are you, Charlie?
Hello, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to all.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Likewise. What's up?
My theory about the whole why Minnesota picked up Mr. Daniels has to do with the defensive coordinator.
Brian.
And what he was turned down for. And wouldn't it look great on his resume if he can turn this guy down, that guy around as his side project and go, yeah, Giants, I can't do anything.
Here's the only problem with your theory is he's the defensive coordinator. I love your thought process, but
it's interesting, and it could be a good troll, but it doesn't work that way, I don't think.
I think the only troll, and it's a part of why I'm very intrigued by Brian as the next head coach of the New York Jets, it's not really a troll. Your revenge on the Giants for not hiring you, or your revenge on the Dolphins for firing you, is to go get a job, especially with a team that maybe the Giants don't like.
And win a Super Bowl.
And go win a championship.
Right.
It's a part of why I've always believed that Brian Flores would accept the New York Jets job. You know, we have this belief that the Jets have a toxic job, nobody's going to want it, and there may be a lot of truth to that, and certainly my educated guess is there is a lot of truth to that, but I think Brian Flores, after what happened in Miami, and certainly what happened with the Giants, and being a New York guy, I think he would look at the Jets and say, oh my God,
yeah,
that's where I want to be.
And I have the right culture to fix whatever has been going on for the last decade plus.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's go to James in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. What's up, James?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing today? Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
What's up, man?
So just wanted to go over this Joe Shane thing here, right? We're trying to decide if it's a package deal or if he should go, right? So let's remember that when Shane took over at his press conference, he was very similar to a gentleman named Dave Gettleman, where he said he's going to rebuild and win at the same time. And ever since Eli was sort of at the end and everybody knew he was at the end, this team has never tore it down and built it back up the correct way. It has always been Band-Aids on broken limbs, and Shane has been right along with it all the way. He didn't pick up the option on Jones. Then he goes ahead and he signs Jones to the huge deal. He didn't sell assets at the deadline, right? Like what has he done to gain the ability to draft the next quarterback? I don't see it with this guy. His son seemed to be a better GM than him during Hard Knocks, right? And just a going away present, Tiki. I tweeted you guys. Aliens are real. They're here, and we are the best reality show in the universe.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
You know, it's so funny you say
there's
that.
There's no doubt about that.
So during one of the commercial breaks, I was reading a DM I got from JR, who's a caller to the show sometimes. Mm-hmm. I like him. Big fan of JR. So JR is sending me information about aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading it to Tiki during the commercial break. I'll read it on the air real quick. It's someone who claims they worked in the U.S. government, so take it for what it's worth. And they're what they know about aliens is that, or UFOs. UFOs are primarily unmanned drones. UFOs are built to spec each time they're deployed. UFOs are created by mobile construction facilities that hide in the ocean. The construction facility destroys anything that comes close to it and will disappear for days when approached aggressively.
Wow.
And the U.S. government believes that facility's been active on Earth for at least 100 years or maybe more. So I read this to Tiki, and Tiki had the same response I had. That's really interesting. What are they doing?
Right.
Okay.
What's the purpose?
What's the purpose?
Why have they been here for 100 years and not revealed themselves?
Right. So our last caller nailed it. To watch us, just to study the craziness of Earthlings. They go nuts about sports, their elections, their government. Look at their response to UFOs and the way they try to cover it up. Maybe their reasons for being here is to supply entertainment back on whatever planet they're from.
What is this, the Truman Show?
It's similar to that, yes.
Sounds like it.
Yes. But you know what? It kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's a great theory. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 list coming up. Plus more of your calls. Giants, Jets. We'll get you set for that Jet game. Some thoughts on the Jets as they welcome an old friend, Geno Smith.